The Bird of Night, written by Susan Hill and read by Cameron Stewart.
1. During a summer we spent at Kernham, Francis locked himself in the church for the whole of a night. I found him there at 5 o'clock the next morning, huddled up beneath the pulpit. It was cold. He could not feel safe anywhere else, he said. And then he began to weep, as so often happened, and shouted at me through his weeping to understand the truth, that he deserved to be locked up. Why would I not admit that and see to it? Why had I driven him to do it for himself? That is what I remembered this morning. But I do not know why one bubble should break upon the surface rather than another. I should be content that I remember. At 3:30, Mrs. Mumford will come up from the village and put the kettle on. It will be tea time. As I get old, I discover that I mark out each day like this. It is upsetting beyond reason when there is a change in the routine. But it is still too early. Mrs. Mumford will not come yet. If I half close my eyes, the flowers dance. It is when I look at my hands that I believe I am an old man. Not even this awkward business of walking so slowly on two sticks brings home the truth to me so much as the sight of these hands. They are identical to the hands of my father, and my grandfather too, and those I remember only as old hands, the skin almost transparent over raised veins, the knobs of the joints pushing up beneath. As a child, I stared at my father's hands. I cannot reconcile them now to myself. This morning, was it only this morning? One of the young men came. This one had red hair and very pale, long, long fingers. He waved them about in the air as he spoke. If I half closed my eyes, it is a way of cutting myself off from their talk, I saw that his hands were like the fronds of weed that lie just under the clear water of the river that runs across the marshes here. They undulated in such a way. The flesh was greenish. I loathed him. He was an effete young man. He was ingratiating. He called me Sir in a way that was impertinent, and after lunch he picked surreptitiously at the back of his teeth with one of the long, pale fingers. I generally have to give them lunch. It is such a long way that they come. Oh, and I wish that they would not. He said, "I am very anxious to be given access to papers."
"There are no papers."
"Oh, come, sir, you can tell the truth to me. There must be papers, and surely you owe it to his memory, to scholarship."
"That is what they all say."
"Naturally, you can trust absolutely in my discretion."
"And that is what they all say."
Then, sometimes, they begin to bully me, or to wheedle. They treat me as though I were wicked, or weak in the head. I have listened to them all. "Surely there are diaries, letters, notebooks."
"There are no papers."